Kia ora and welcome to the You've Got This podcast with Zazie and Tess. Tess and I are speech and language therapists with a combined 18 years working in the field with children and their whānau, so we know a thing or two about what makes them tick.
We want to empower you to know exactly what you can do to support your child's development. We're going to be touching on all of the important topics that you want to hear about, from speech and language development to managing tricky behaviours or supporting your little one to transition to school.
You can even request episodes that you want to hear more on. Just head to our Instagram at You've Got This Podcast. We'd absolutely love your support over on Patreon. Head to You've Got This, where we'll be offering extra episodes and unique resources that we've created to support you on your journey.
We like to have a bit of a laugh and keep it real, so thanks for listening. We're over the moon to have you along for the ride.
Kia ora, good evening. It's evening here and I am absolutely shattered. It was just one of those super rough days. Etta was up for an hour in the night, ear infection again. We finished those antibiotics. We're back on the ear infection thing. The doctor was saying that he could see that they were both inflamed, but the new treatment protocol is that we don't flood kids with antibiotics yet.
You're like, just give me antibiotics. We're not
mainline
sleeping.
The drugs to us both. He said, I'm going to treat the situation with meds like Nurofen and Pamol and just treat the pain, basically. And if it's no better by Friday, then come back. And I'm like, the drama to get here already was top notch. So
my son has difficulties transitioning. We're not going to be coming here.
He's totally different now, to be fair. And I left him at home with my mom, which made things easier, but they're both sick. It was just one of those days where she absolutely refused to nap and she was just grinning at me and like doing her whole own thing. August fell asleep instead. Yeah, so I was up an hour and a night. The kids didn't nap all day. I had no time to myself. It's just been super hectic. So, and I had a bath, but with both kids. So I've essentially bathed in urine. Like, if you're a parent, you know what that's like. They just wee in the bath and then you're just like, do I feel refreshed? I did not. When did I last wash my hair? I'm not sure. So I think I just need an hour or so to myself.
Did you shower after the bath to clean off the urine, or were you sitting in your
wanted to, but it was like 6 o'clock.
Oh my god.
And I was like, my daughter needs to be asleep. She slept for 20 minutes all day. I need to breastfeed and put her down, and then I need to post, and then I need to follow up on work, then I need to do a podcast, and then I need to have a meeting with my suppliers. So like, I don't know, like midnight I'll have a shower and crawl into bed.
When I have kids, can you just raise them for me? This absolutely does not sound like my cup of tea.
110%. I'm gonna offload a whole lot of other jobs that aren't getting done.
All right, let's get down to business. What are we here to talk about today?
Well, I'd really like to talk about play. So, I mean, I've built a business off the back of it, but I know that you've got loads of... You're almost like super trained in it. I'm a bit anxious to talk to you, actually. So I'm really keen to hear a little bit about the learning and the research and the programs you've learned about that I am totally ignorant to.
Now you're making me nervous, Oz. Don't big up me like that.
So the point I'm always trying to get across on Instagram and to parents whenever I meet them is that, one, kids are always playing. That's like their default. Everything they're doing is play. Even when they're repetitively pushing that cup on the floor again to see your reaction, it's all play. They need to do that to figure out how the world works. And to learn the physics of something, you know, they're learning how much effort it takes to push that cup. You know, that's all learning. So all play is learning. And the second thing I'm always trying to get across is that you can play with anything that's in front of you. And I think people get caught up, especially on Instagram, of look at all these posh wooden toys I need. Look at this aesthetic that I need in order to play. And the reality is, you know, your kid wants to play with the TV remote. Your kid wants to play with your kitchen utensils. So I want to empower people to play with the crap they've got, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's spot on. I think we forget that as children, their occupation is to play. That is what they're there to do. That is what they're put on this earth to do. And developing good play skills as a child leads to good leisure skills as an adult. And we know how important leisure is for well-being, balance, social connection, all of these things. So we need to be playing, like you said, from the day they're born right up until they're adults. As adults, we play too. I don't know, we play games, we play card games. We do all of these things that sort of stem from our childhood experiences of opportunities to play. So that's why we love play. Play is a wonderful thing. But it can be a little bit overwhelming, a little bit stressful, and a little bit messy sometimes for families, can't it?
And I think adults just forget to play. Hey, you know, the world is fast moving and we're tired, and as a parent, you've got to be cleaning up the mess they just left, and the cooking dinner and sorting out all the naps. And sometimes you just, I know, I see so many posts about, when can my child play independently? We want a break. We want a cup of tea. We want to be away. And sometimes it's really difficult when you're exhausted to think, right, I'll sit on the floor now and I'm going to play dollies, when really, you know, you forget the language that goes with that, and how you take part without taking over. I think we are prone to taking over.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I think sometimes we get really worked up and stressed out about what we're going to do when we go to play with our children. Obviously, you've got to leave your inhibitions at the door, and you have to be quite silly sometimes. But really, the key is just to follow their lead.
Mm.
DIR Floor Time talk about wait, watch, wonder. So just wait, watch what they're doing, wonder what they're thinking, and then just get involved and just imitate, just do what they're doing. Say the words that they're saying if they're speaking, you know, make silly sounds if they're not. It's just about taking it slow, not putting too much pressure on yourself, but just giving it a crack.
So wait, you mentioned a program there. Say that again.
So that's called DIR Floor Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a program that is international. It goes in sort of levels. So you can do, families can do DIR level 1, 101, and then there's different courses for families and different courses for professionals. It's for all professionals, so you don't have to be a speech therapist, you don't have to be an occupational therapist. We had teachers, specialist teachers and other sort of therapists on our course that we're doing, psychologists, etc. And it's a play-based intervention. It starts with regulation and well-being, and then it builds into sort of understanding the world, and then purposeful two-way interactions, and then shared problem solving, and it builds up to symbolic language. So that's sort of words, mm-hmm. or symbols if your learner's or child's non-speaking.
Well, that's heaps before the words. So that's loads of things to consider before talking.
Heaps. Yeah, this is what shocked me, I think, coming as a speech therapist, when I do a lot of work in alternative communication systems, and I used to go in and sort of start hammering home needing to be modelling a core vocabulary board or modelling, you know, a high-tech system, where these children weren't even aware that you were in their space. They didn't know that you were in their zone, that you were a play partner for them. Mm-hmm. And whilst we do need to be modelling communication systems all of the time, we also need to be working on shared attention and mm-hmm. shared enjoyment. So the purpose of play is having a good time, no matter what it looks like, as long as it's safe and you're regulated.
Yeah.
And sometimes we skip the part of it being fun, and we just want it to be functional. Put that puzzle in the place, you know, spin that item, bang that ball.
Again, come back to social media. I think I have had so many conversations with mums where I've posted a play idea and said, this is what we put out, but that isn't necessarily what your child is going to do with the activity. And you have to be prepared and be happy that your child is running with it in the way that they want to. If you've set up sand and diggers and you are thinking, we're going to dig the sand, and actually your child is enjoying picking it up and sprinkle it over onto the floor, that's still learning, that's still play, and that's the part that you should be joining in with. You pick it up, you sprinkle it on the floor, put language and fun to that, not trying to redirect to, hey, this is what I thought you were going to do with this activity.
Definitely. And it might just be that they're not at that developmental play level yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you're using a digger and you're scooping things up, that's functional play. You're using the item for its intended purpose. The step before that is cause and effect play, and that's what you're saying earlier, Zaz, about sort of hitting the cup over and waiting for mum to pick it up. That's play mm-hmm. too. That's cause and effect. The level before that is sensory motor, so exploring your play through your senses. And mm-hmm. so if your little one is picking up the sand and just sort of exploring what it's doing, that's more sensory motor and cause and effect play. So they might not really be ready to use the item for its intended purpose, and that's absolutely fine. We don't want to rush through those play levels either. So like you said, imitating it and picking that sand up and just sort of feeding that language in by making comments is really going to be supporting their play. And also, don't be afraid of repetition. I think repetition and predictability is key for our children to learn how to play. They learn how to participate and they learn what their role is. If we're doing it once and then trying to redirect to something else, they're then they're learning a new skill, and we get afraid of sort of doing the same thing, or adults, we get bored. It's like reading the mm-hmm. same book 1,000 times, but every time you're doing the same thing, they're learning different things, whether it feels like it or not.
Yeah, so it's about coming back to the same activities that they've enjoyed, or trying an activity that you've done before that they walked away from. It's about that exposure and that, and noticing what they're into and doing it again and again and again.
Yeah, and I think that's why our children now go towards devices so much more, because they are predictable. Even if they don't know how to use the app yet, they know the scroll to hit a button, and it's going to be the same thing every time.
Yeah.
And devices are far more sort of safe and predictable than what people can be. So if we make ourselves as play partners feel as safe as possible, as predictable as possible, then they're going to be more inclined to want to play with us than the devices, perhaps. And we need to be more fun than the devices. We need to be more exciting than the devices. We need to be more flashy.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to compete with these devices.
You can't,
but
and you can't almost.
Key.
You can't compete with a device because it is so exciting. It is so flashy. But what a device lacks that an adult has is that feedback. Your child can button bash, press anything, and anything can kind of happen that isn't related to their input, what they're saying. So they could say cat and the machine could come up with anything. It's not being monitored. It doesn't, it's just button bashing. But if your child says cat, you're likely to respond and be a partner that is meeting them at their level and responding to what they've actually said.
Definitely. It's sort of like passive play, isn't it? It's kind of like learning to ride a bike by watching a video of it.
Yeah.
You don't learn.
No, really.
And so that's why we need to be, like you said, that responsive play partner, that communication partner, that facilitator. And just having fun. I think one thing that DIR really taught me was the use of affect, which is demonstrating your emotions through your body language and your facial expression. And that is really key for our children to learn about how they should be feeling. So if you're looking anxious or nervous or you're getting angry, then they pick up on those emotions really quickly. Mm-hmm. And that can influence them how they feel. I think you've spoken about regulation and co-regulation a lot on your page, Zaz, about the adults needing to model the emotions and the feelings that we're wanting our children to feel.
Yeah.
And that's the same with play. So we need to be fun and exciting and playful and joyous and all of these things we don't feel like doing when we're so exhausted.
I'm always looking for that angle of how can I teach? And sometimes I just think, what am I doing? I've got my kindergarten voice on almost. I'm talking like a teacher might to a child that isn't my own. And I wonder whether that would be like a good reminder for other parents that you're kind of switching into this, oh my goodness, yes, I would love a cup of tea as they're at the kitchen, you know, I would love you to make me, yes,
you're
put
a cartoon
sausages,
character.
Put sausages on the cake. Mmm, delicious. It's this, you're acting, it's a big acting job because no, you don't want a piece of cake with sausages on and you're exhausted and you're mainlining coffee, but that's what it takes. And I think when you're in that persona as well, you're less likely to sound annoyed, to get annoyed, to snap at your little one because you're in, got your teacher voice on.
Yeah, you're just putting that mask on, you know, you're doing what you need to get done and then you can drop that mask as soon as the play session's over and be done with it. But as you said, Zaz, also play happens everywhere. It doesn't need to be on the floor with birdseed and tractors and diggers, although that is fun times, as we know. It can be everywhere and anywhere. So when you're preparing a meal, like you said, can you give them a carrot and show them that when they bang it on the kitchen bench it makes noise, you know, all of these different things. Can you make a silly song when you're peeling the carrots to sort of get them involved and get their attention? It just doesn't have to be a set up play activity and it doesn't have to involve expensive toys.
So if a parent was gonna, was listening to this and thinking, right, I want to start doing more of this tomorrow. It's not all day, is it? A parent doesn't have to be switched on all day.
No. So I spoke briefly about the developmental play levels, but there's also social play levels as well. So you were talking about self-occupancy or when is my child going to learn to play alone? That is independent play. That's a separate skill from being able to do shared play where they're using the same items and aware of each other next to each other, but not necessarily engaging. And parallel play is a step before that, where they're playing alongside each other, completely ignoring each other. And children need opportunities to experience these play levels in order to be great players as well. So, and then the next step up goes to that sort of co-productive stuff where there's role play and they're all sort of working together and you know, making up different games. And so we need to be ensuring that we're giving opportunities for us to do shared play where we're sort of in the zone and playing alongside if they're not ready for us to enter in or entering in if they're ready for us, but also giving them brief opportunities to play alone and work things out by themselves. I think some parents want the child, their children's play to be perfect from the get-go. So they might give them a puzzle and they're wanting them to put the puzzle piece in exactly where it goes and might get a bit frustrated when they're not doing that.
And sometimes mix up that play with learning. You know, that's an ABC puzzle. It's a 1-2-3 puzzle. I'm trying to feed in the alphabet and numbers and stuff here where that's not play. That becomes drilling.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you know you're peeling the carrots and your little one's inside and they've got the play pieces and they're just bashing those play pieces together and making noise, yes, it's a bit annoying, but that's their play. That's them learning self-occupancy skills as well. So they need opportunities for both, obviously, as long as they're sort of within sight and safe when they're doing it.
So I would say some of the take-home messages, if you're thinking, right, I need to up my play, are you don't need to run out and buy anything new. You've got enough stuff around the house. It's about getting involved with what your child is doing. looking, watching, seeing how they're interacting with something and you doing the same. Take some of the parts. You know, if they're stacking coasters from your lounge in the corner, then you have some coasters as well and you can do the same and try and make that interaction fun.
Yeah, and I think if they're not showing your their joint attention, so they're not aware that you're also stacking the coasters, then do try to get involved in a way that's really playful, so thinking about their affect again, in a way that makes them feel like you're on their side.
Mm-hmm.
So an example of that would be, so if they're stacking the coasters and you're stacking your coasters next to them and they're not having a bar of you, they're not even aware that you're there, you might come in and be like, ready, steady, go, and knock the coasters off and laugh with them. And they might be really shocked. They might have not even known that you were there, but then you're going to help them. You know, I'm helping you. Let's stack. Stack, stack, mm-hmm. stack, stack. And then you use wait time, and then, you know, see if they're gonna, if they're showing anticipation that you're gonna do it again, and then you do it again, and then you start getting involved in their play too, if they're not really at that stage where they're recognizing you're doing the same thing next to them.
I love that you used a sing-songy voice there. That's definitely a strategy that I use all the time, and it's just putting a stupid song to whatever's coming out your mouth. It doesn't have to they don't know it's a song. You don't have to write a bloomin' verse and a chorus. It's just, I'm stacking the coasters, stack, stack, stack. I'm stacking the coasters, stack, stack. I mean, what is that? But you put a tune to it and that makes your voice interesting. That makes it interesting. And if you do the yeah. same thing on repeat, your child's queuing in and thinking, what's she going to do next when she sings that little funny bit? Yeah, I feel like I sing all day.
I think overall it is just about sort of making time for it. Doesn't have to look like traditional play. Understand what gets your child going, what gets them interested, and sort mm-hmm. of just start getting involved. I think what we could possibly do, Zaz, is pop up a play checklist that talks about just the different play steps. It will help families to understand where their little one is on that play continuum yes. and possibly give some ideas of things to do at that level, because it can be quite confusing if they're not using objects for their intended purpose. You know, what am I meant to do with this object if it's not a car?
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's put that out there. We want you to feel like you've got this. So we'll make that available somehow. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe, follow along yep. for our next one.
Yep.
And check out our Instagram, You've Got This Podcast, for that resource that we just talked about. All right, ka kite. Good night.